Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL. Ed Maher, good morning, Ed.
What's happening, Ken?
All good, all good. Had a nice vacation. Phil Davidson with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. How are you?
Good morning. How was your vacation?
It was actually great. I went to Florida and to a place called Longboat Key,
yep,
which is really, really quiet. It's on the Gulf of America. I don't know if you heard of that.
I heard of that place.
Yeah. The Gulf of America.
It's hard to find on a map right
and
now.
I went fishing every day.
What'd you catch?
I caught my first, what's called a snook. And so they're very elusive, hard to catch, and caught it right off the shore. I fished. There's nothing to do in Longboat Key other than like eat at a couple of restaurants. There's no fast food. It's just really, really quiet. So I relaxed for a week. And I will tell you this, it was the first time, I want to say in 25, 30 years, that I didn't check my emails.
You really didn't.
You know this for a fact.
No, I didn't email you no matter what.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. So yeah, it was really good.
You earned it.
And yeah, thank you guys for. I listened to the show. You guys did a great job last week. It was funny.
We took it easy on you too.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Did you really?
Maybe.
Yeah, there's some stuff on the cutting room floor.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Went a little too hard.
Yeah, I won't do the same for you. By the way.
I know.
All right. So a couple of things in the news. We had talked about. U.S. Steel, right?
Yeah.
And getting bought by
Nippon,
which is Japanese.
An enormous Japanese steel
right.
company.
And that got shut down by Biden and an executive order and sale bad.
And it was because of a threat to national security of a foreign nation owning, impacting the ability of a domestic steel production.
Yeah.
And that
was
towards the end of his term, right? That was...
Yeah,
it was. I mean, it was investigated by 2 years, and that was what precipitated this. And after it came out, Trump agreed with it.
Yeah. For sure. Trump said, and by the way, that's his platform, right? American jobs by American companies. And the steel workers are against it, right? And they're the ones that physically work there.
Yeah.
And guess what happened last week? Trump, of course, reverses course because that's what he does.
Taco?
Yep. And he says, I'm in favor of it. Now, turns out that Nippon Steel says that we're going to have 40,000 new jobs and blah, blah, blah. No, we're not. And so he's going to approve the deal, even though the studies say it's a bad idea. It's sort of, like I said, it's the antithesis of what he ran on, which is American jobs by American companies. And now we're going to hand the keys to a massive steel company to a foreign nation.
Well, the critics of this are saying that, I mean, U.S. Steel is not a huge company anymore. I mean, it's got some facilities left in Indiana and Pennsylvania.
Right.
But technology and steelmaking has changed. So the critics are saying that what Nippon Steel will try to do is perhaps share some of that technology for smaller plants in places like Texas, close down plants in Indiana and Pennsylvania, which is what the steel workers are worried about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that the motivation behind this deal would be to control U.S. Steel and stop it from being any source of competition to Nippon Steel, which is a legitimately enormous corporation.
Yeah, I don't see how that deal gets approved. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense.
Headlines. Headlines, baby.
Was it tariff related?
I don't think so. I think Trump just, reversed course and said, Nippon Steel tells us that they're going to create jobs. Everything's going to be great. I think he said the same thing about Whirlpool.
I think it's in the name of like foreign investment in the United States.
Yeah.
It's just running up a number, without concern for details or consequences.
Forgive my ignorance. Does Japan, do they have unions there?
Japan?
Yeah.
No, they work like 20 hours a day in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I know they're in China.
Not everybody, but it's like you spend your life devoted to the company. People sleep at work, and it's like it means if you see somebody sleeping at their desk, it's a good thing. It means they're working really hard. I'm not making this up.
Is that right?
Yeah, this is like how it's viewed over there. It's crazy.
Yeah, great. That's what we're getting. All right. So we got that. That's happening. We'll keep you up to speed on that. And then more locally, we have a strike going on at Local 150, right?
Yeah, the operating engineers, Local 150, are on strike in the ports of Chicago, a couple locations here, against a company called QSL America. The strike has been going on for about a week. Basically what happened, these are the people who load and unload trains, trucks, put them on ships. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, putting things on ships, taking things off ships.
Yep.
It's really important. The port in Chicago is one of the largest inland ports in the world. A lot of folks might not know, but the equipment was really out of repair. Safety concerns with the company. Some workers complained about it to the company. They were fired. They were disciplined. They started being followed around at work and surveilled. So the company went to a union, and they're out on strike for unfair labor practices. Since they went on strike, they've additional people have been fired. So the company is just, you know, saying that a union is meddling with its workforce, but these folks are being fired for raising safety concerns.
Were they a union already, Ed?
I don't think they were, no.
Okay, so they had these concerns and then they joined 150.
Right. So the one thing that's kind of interesting and telling in situations like this, when the workers left, management tried to operate the equipment to unload boxcars. And what took the workers around 30 minutes to do took management almost 5 hours to do. So it's not going to work out well. These are skilled people, and we're going to be reporting on this as it goes on. But shout out to Local 150 for fighting the good fight for these folks.
Good for them. Listen, we got to take a quick break. Come back with Beth Ratliff. She is the COO of Premise Health, one of our major sponsors. And the gift of a guitar made its way to me.
Yeah.
You
better. Only you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better report
just
that.
Just me. I should report that. Listen, all right, we're going to be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and as we stated at the top of the hour, we're super stoked today to have the head of Premise Health, one of our major sponsors, and her name is Beth Ratliff. Now, I know I'm joking. You're not the number one, but you're number two?
I am the chief operating officer.
What does that mean in plain English?
It starts with a C. That's good.
Okay, the C-suite.
Yeah.
Right?
Ken only cares about your ranking at the company.
Well, I think it's number two, yeah?
I'm your favorite, though. Yeah,
well, there's no question
number
about
one
that.
Number one in our hearts.
Fan favorite. Fan favorite, I would say, for sure.
An absolute fan favorite.
We don't rank.
So what do you do there?
I make sure that all of our health centers operate with efficiency, effectiveness, that we're delivering really high-quality care, that members have a great experience.
How long have you been working there?
Been there since 98.
Wow. Holy cow, 98.
I started when I was 13.
Hey-o.
That sounds about right. Were you working in Iowa?
Yeah, you work on the night shift.
No comment.
So how many near sites does Premise now have in the United States?
We operate about 850 locations. We're in 46 states. Wow. And those are primary care centers, pharmacies. We have behavioral health, PT, chiropractic, and then a variety of other services that all kind of roll up under primary care.
Okay. So for those of you that don't know, you know, Premise Health is A, obviously a massive sponsor of the show, and B, they're the company that the then Midwest Coalition of Labor, now National Coalition of Labor, chose as our preferred vendor to open up clinics near sites. They're called basically doctor's offices, where we couldn't by ourselves, like a union by ourselves, right? Like local.
Yeah, like one union might not have the population density to support a clinic. But if you put a couple of unions together, all of a sudden it's easy.
And the price goes down.
Right.
Right? And so we chose Premise. For a couple of reasons. One is because of Beth Ratliff, right, sitting right here. She's funny and she tells good jokes.
She does.
I laugh at your jokes.
That's really most important.
Flattery will get you everywhere here.
That's
only real criteria.
You laugh at my jokes. Yeah. I mean, you're about the only one. So, but we chose Premise for a couple of reasons. Number one, we thought, and I continue to think, that you guys are altruistic in your mission. And Stu Clark, who is the CEO, is that right? He comes from a union background, right? From miners. And
I
don't mean children. I mean miners that work
ER, with the ER.
Yeah, okay, yes.
It's an important distinction.
First, just make sure everybody understands.
Yeah, I get it.
So, but he, you know, he comes from that background. He understands worker bees, working class. And then you guys are owned in part by a pension fund called OMERS, right?
We are.
And what does OMERS stand for?
Ontario Municipal Employee Retirement System.
So it's basically a union pension fund.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're not venture capital, right? You're not like, you know, a Wall Street company that's trying to squeeze profits.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that you put people before profits. And so we have been lucky enough to, you know, open up a bunch of these clinics, right? Health centers. And we're starting now to continue to, you know, to grow that and put them, like you said, Ed, you know, the carpenters, right?
It's the future of medicine. Yeah. And I'll just say that I was at the Carpenters Health Center this week to film a video of our boss, our executive secretary treasurer, Kevin McLaughlin. And we had to do it inside the health center just for purposes of the setting. And we couldn't start filming because there were so many patients coming to the office. Like I was looking for just 10 minutes where there would be a lull.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it. It's impressive how many people are utilizing it.
And I know I've told you this before, but my father-in-law was in the Carpenters Union.
Yes.
He was also a millwright.
Yep.
And I really believe that had he had access to this type of primary care, he would probably still be alive today.
Yeah.
So we just really believe if you give people easy access to high quality primary care, you make it affordable.
Yes.
And in this case, there's no cost for these members to use it. It's free.
That's a good price for us.
Likely to come in, and they're more likely to really begin to understand how they can take great care of themselves.
And the results are bearing it out because studies and audits that have been done on the health centers have shown that folks who have been to one of these near-site centers within the past year, as opposed to those who haven't, are more compliant with screenings for things like prostate cancer or, you know, various other things, breast cancer, where early detection can make the difference between recovery or not. So the health outcomes have been
and they're more likely to come back, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's closer to home. It's free. It's easy. The doctor knows you. There's pictures of heavy equipment on the wall or like hammers and
the carpenters,
large pieces of wood.
And you can get in and you're not waiting in the lobby for an hour to see a doctor for 2 minutes.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't think many people walk out of there with an unpleasant experience. I think they're like, this is as good as a healthcare experience is going to go.
Yeah. You get, you know, I think it's the flip. You actually wait less than 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
If that, and you spend on average 20 to 30 minutes with your doctor.
Yeah.
So they are not practicing what we call doorknob medicine.
Right.
They aren't in a hurry to get out and go see another patient. They want to make sure your particular questions are answered and everything that you need is taken care of.
And you guys said that, you know, Stu has said this often, that your mission was to disrupt healthcare in the United States. So let me ask you this, right? You have almost 900 of these sites around the country. Are you getting pushback from, you know, insurance companies, from health systems, from hospitals? Like, like it's competition, right? You're actually in the market competing with, you know, an Advocate, for example, right? Or, you know, a Northwestern health system or whatever it is. You know, these basically massive for-profit, and you guys are for-profit as well. Are you getting, you know, like, how does that work?
You know, occasionally what we will see is a health system offer to put one of these sites in for free. And really what they're doing is they are trying to control the downstream referrals into their health system.
Okay.
So, you know, what matters to them is that they can control the patient flow. And what we do is a bit different. So we're not worried about healthcare reimbursement. If we see a patient and they need to go into the community, we are actually using data to identify who is high quality in the community and who is low cost. And we're trying to make sure that we are referring, say you have a heart issue, we're referring hearts to one system because they have the quality scores.
Right.
But we may be referring knee surgery somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we aren't committed to a particular health system. You know, we can refer and we're agnostic to that. We are really looking
because
at
quality. Because there's no monetary.
There's no value for us.
Right.
You know, so, we're not receiving any monetary kickback from that.
Right. Got it.
And something you said earlier, Ken, about Premise being a for-profit. I mean, you're not in business to lose money, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a very educated person on this, but you are owned by a pension fund, and pension funds tend to just need stable returns of, say, like high single digits, like 6-7%, as opposed to, you know, venture capital, private equity, where you're looking for as much as you can get, like 10, 15, 20, just more. So you're able to give people time, give people access, give, you know, affordable rates to the funds that participate, as opposed to just always, there's more money to be made, let's make more money. I think that's some of the value that comes back to the members and the funds, certainly.
Yeah, I think if you think about our business model, it is very different than a traditional healthcare setting. We're not fee for service, so we're not paid based on how many patients we see.
Right.
We're not paid by how many tests we order, you know, how many referrals, you know, into for a procedure.
Yep.
We are paid directly by our clients for the quality of the care that we deliver. And so it's very unique in that we're saving our client money.
Mm-hmm.
We're saving the patient money. And we have an incentive, and we also are making some money. So it is aligned incentives. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
So we're not looking to squeeze more and more profit out, because then our business model falls apart. Client has to save some money. Patient has to save some money.
Yeah.
Health has to improve.
It can be good for everyone.
It is a balanced and aligned incentive model that is very different than traditional.
Only more corporations follow this.
I was about to say, you know? it's the anti-capitalist.
Literally.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and good for you guys for doing that and realizing that.
And it works.
And it works, right? And I'll get, you know, look, I'll give credit where credit's due. We want, like, the coalition, right, mm-hmm. which now is screaming past 300,000 members. And how many states are we in now?
20 plus
states, right? So it's growing. We want our partners, the Premise Healths, the Voyas, right? We want them to make money, but not too much money,
right?
Not money where it's going to hurt us or cost us quality. And I think that, you know, kind of that's what we're alluding to with Premise, is that you're not as concerned about, because you're getting paid, like, it's like almost having an in-house, like, look, where I come from, Local 150, right? We had an in-house legal department. We all got paid the same amount of money.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say all of us got paid the same amount of money. I got paid the least because I was the worst lawyer.
That is true. Yeah.
But we, you know,
but you were the idea guy.
I'm always the idea guy, Phil. I don't make stuff actually happen, but I got a lot of good ideas.
Right.
But it was this, you know, same concept. That's the fee, period, right?
Yeah.
So there's no incentive for us to, you know, crank out cases or dismiss cases or hurry up and, you know, short shrift somebody or et cetera, et cetera, because we get paid the same amount.
It's the same with union leadership. When you look at the salaries of the leaders of unions, what they would be paid comparably in the corporate world would be 10 times what they make as a leader of an organization that has 50,000 members.
That's right. $10 billion in assets,
right.
And, you know, et cetera, right? So, but like Premise, right, you come up with a pay scale for your doctors and your nurse practitioners and your staff, and that pay is good enough in the market to keep them where they are. And if I'm one of these doctors, right, it's almost like I always compare this to working in-house for the union. That's a golden job, meaning I don't have to worry about, you know, like you said, fee for service or seeing 14 patients every single hour so I could keep my practice going, et cetera. Like, the world's your oyster if you're that doctor. Like, yeah, doesn't that seem like a great gig?
It's what doctors and other healthcare professionals went to school to do, take great care of patients.
Right.
And they no longer have to worry about, is this going to be paid by insurance? Am I going to be able to keep the electricity on at my practice?
Yeah.
How many more patients do I need to shove through the system?
Do I need to send them for tests that they may or may not need to keep the lights on?
Yeah.
That's right.
Do I need to say, hey, you need surgery?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, what they do have to do is focus on improving the health of those members, giving them a great experience. And at the end of the day, we are monitoring to make sure that we're delivering that great experience, that we're delivering great health outcomes, and we're lowering total cost for the member, less out-of-pocket cost.
Sure.
And we're lowering the total cost for the clients that are contracting with us.
It's not just unions, obviously,
not
right?
Just unions.
Yeah, you guys are in corporate world, right? You have Google, I think,
is
one of your customers, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's a smart move, by the way, if you're a union or if you're a corporation, to build one of these things on your campus, right? And say, hey, go here and, you know, be healthy, right? Bring your family there. It's I would assume that helps attract good quality employees as well. We got to take a quick break. And will you stick around for another session with us?
Will you tell me a joke?
I will off the air.
Absolutely. All right, let's do it.
All right, listen, we will be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we're still talking with Bette Ratliff, the COO, which means Chief Operating Officer.
It's very good, Ken.
Thank you so much. I've learned something today. COO. And you know what? I just learned that the reason they call it the C-suite is because of all the C letters.
You just learned that, huh?
I never knew that. I always wondered why they called it
nothing
the
C-suite. Nothing gets past
you. Did you think it was like on the C or?
I just had no idea. I just like, you hear all these terms. I don't know. What do I know? Let's put it this way. You and I never get into the C-suite.
Absolutely not.
Phil might, right?
No.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that one either.
Fair enough. I'd say no.
Yeah. Unless Beth like invites us to her office for a cup of coffee or something. That's the only way we're getting into
the C-suite. Listen, they don't let us into the C-suite here in WGN.
Absolutely not.
I don't think...
You mean the McDonough suite?
I don't think I've seen the actual second... There's another floor downstairs, right?
There is.
That's where the C-suite is?
I think that's why you're always like stomping your feet so loud while you walk around the office, because you have a little bit of resentment, Ken.
We've never been invited.
I don't think anybody gets invited.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We take a little road trip. We go downstairs.
Take your guitar down there.
Hell yes. Song. Now we're talking. So Premise.
That might be the last Workers Mike listeners ever hear.
Premise Health sent me a guitar.
Yeah.
Because I made a comment. It's like they have their own guitar, right? You're from Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So they have their own guitar. And they sent me a guitar, and I had it here in the studio today, and I made up funny songs about people. And it's been a blast. It is made in China, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll correct that.
We can correct that.
Yeah, no, we'll get there. One day I'll get the American version of it, you know?
Yeah.
I still can't play, though.
No.
Phil's pretty good.
Phil is pretty good.
Multi-talented.
Yeah, you certainly are.
So back to the health centers.
I digress.
Yeah.
So, all right, health centers. We're kicking off PT and chiro, right? Which means physical therapy
right. And
chiropractic care in our health centers. So yeah, on top of having, you know, behavioral health and regular doctors and, you know, testing and immunizations and all the other stuff that we do, we're continuing to add services, right, that our members need, right? It's not services that our members don't need, but if you're in the building trades, chances are you're going to need, at some point in your life, physical therapy and probably chiro, right?
Yeah.
So when are those kicking off, Beth?
So we have two sites live already.
Okay.
Went live earlier this month. That was Northbrook and Grays Lake.
Okay.
And then we've got three more coming up in the following months. We've got Elgin going live June 17th.
Okay.
We've got Joliet July 8th. And then Utica July 15th.
That's wonderful. And so that is...
For the carpenters of the Mid-America Council, for the operating engineers, Local 150, I think the Northbrook location is available for the electricians, and then Teamsters, Local 301, has access to all five of them as well.
And then some of our locals, like our 150 and carpenters, they have their own, right. And they already have it there.
You used it, right? I used the chiropractic service at Local 150, yeah. It was great.
Was it good?
Yeah, I had sciatica-like pain in my leg, which is... No joke.
No kidding.
Really no joke.
Oh my
and
God.
A physical therapist couldn't do anything, referred me to talk to an ortho and said, you know, one of your vertebrae is just a little bit out of whack. So I went to the chiropractor, got one adjustment, and haven't had an ounce of pain since then, which is remarkable.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, a direct effect.
How much did it cost you?
That cost me $0. That was free $99,
Kat. I love it.
Love that. That is not unusual to hear that, to hear
right.
people say they've been referred out. You know, we just had a patient who called in. He was about to spend $10,000 out of pocket for a treatment that someone in the community recommended. He called just to see.
What was the treatment?
Some sort of non-FDA approved something.
We're familiar with those.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
They called in. We got him in to see PT and chiropractic care. He is now saying he slept for the first time for over 6 hours uninterrupted.
Yeah.
After years of pain.
How do you like that?
He no longer has, you know, the limitations of walking. He can play golf again. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Cost him nothing out of pocket.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're finding, like, that people are using these services?
Saw thousands and thousands of visits.
When I was at the Carpenter's Health Center, the line for the PT in chiro was, that was where everyone was going.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they said they were going. They were making a leftover to behavioral health.
right. As soon as I left, right.
Well, sometimes if you talk to a doctor and you have like back pain, they'll be like, well, do you want to talk to a surgeon? It's like,
no.
You tell me, do I need to talk to a surgeon?
Right. Like,
it's not if I want to get surgery. Do I need to get surgery? Or can I go to a chiropractor?
Right. That's the last thing I want to do is get surgery.
The doctor's like, do you want surgery? I don't know. No.
I don't. You're the doctor.
Yeah, I want some OxyContin and a place to lay down for 12 hours.
Every day.
That's a hard no.
Yeah, the doctor's not going to write that.
You know, the thing, though, is that this is not just for the adults, right? We have a great story. I think it was that the operators, patient was in high school, mm-hmm. just signed to play collegiate level basketball.
Oh, cool.
She blew out her knee. Oof. Got in post-op to see the physical therapist and is actually going to go on and play.
Oh, nice.
Play in college.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
You know, we see not only the, you know, the workers, but their family members. And if you think you need to see a therapist or a chiropractor and you don't know which one you need to see, like, talk to the doctor there. Talk to the therapist. They'll refer you to the chiropractor, or a chiropractor will refer you to the therapist.
I do still have 1 year of eligibility left, I think.
What do you mean?
In NCAA rules, you get 5 years of eligibility. So if I get myself really cleaned up, I might be able to go back and play ball.
You can be the water boy.
Whatever, yeah.
The water boy.
Ouch.
Ouch. Ouch.
The diving team. Back to school.
Yeah, exactly. The triple Lindy. Been working on it.
Oh, Jesus. All right, listen. So let's go back to health centers. Tell us just a little tiny bit more. Like, what are the, just overview, like, what are the services, like, just tick them off. What do they offer in these health centers, Beth?
So, wide range of services. When you think about primary care, so they are offering everything from annual exams to episodic acute care. So you have a sore throat,
right.
You've got the flu. Also things like chronic condition management, so diabetes, mm-hmm. high blood pressure, high cholesterol,
yep.
Anything you would see or a doctor in the community for, you can come in and see our primary care physician and they will take care of that. They also can refer you to behavioral health. So if you need some counseling, if you're having stress or anxiety.
And some of our facilities actually have that on site.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Physical therapy. Chiropractic care. We can provide you some coaching and wellness. So maybe you want to train for a 5K, or you'd like to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
That team works together to help you achieve whatever your goals are, or to address whatever problems.
Smoking cessation.
That's been a big one. Diabetes.
Yeah. Diabetes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So we're like, my understanding is now that we've had some years under our belt and some like sort of credible data, if you will. That you guys are actually catching, you know, the early heart diseases, the early diabetes, cholesterol, and things like that. Getting those under control and managing them, right, has a downstream effect of saving the health fund money, because as opposed to somebody, you know, having a heart attack or et cetera, you know, going on insulin, for example, if you get that under control early, then the fund at the end of the day saves money down the road.
100%. We have lots of data to show that. So if we are preventing disease or getting a disease you already have under control,
yeah.
You are less likely to need to go to the emergency room, to the urgent care, to be hospitalized, to be on long-term medication. Overall, you may be spending a little bit more time with the primary care system. Mm-hmm. You're spending a lot less time with those high-cost kind of specialty care services.
Look, a lot of people, you know, to this day use the emergency room as their primary care physician.
A lot of people.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they use the doc in the box, right?
That's right.
Where you actually don't see a doctor, you see a nurse practitioner, right? And so, and I get it, you know, it's convenient, but that's what sort of, I think, like,
it's healthcare. Not primary care.
No, God, no. It's an emergency.
Yeah,
right?
What does it cost just to take an ambulance? It's several thousand dollars.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
And those, you know, when your term about doc in the box is less about whether it's a physician or a nurse practitioner. And it's more about the fact that it's really siloed. So whoever's seeing you there doesn't have information to all of your health information, and they're not going to see you repeatedly to help you get better.
No,
they're just treating it one-stop shop.
Yes, right.
It's one interaction.
And I, you know, look, my own experience obviously has been fantastic. I think we all have had good experiences, but you know, our doctors will call you. Literally, it's annoying. They're like, don't you think it's time for your physical, Ken?
Yeah.
Like, oh God, okay, Mom, you know? No, right. Seriously, like, you need to make an appointment. Like, okay. And I do, right? And so it works. And the, like you said, the guy knows, you know, the doctors know my history, and they can say, hey, how's the this and this going? You know, it seems like your levels of this are good. So I actually, it's so funny, the other day, like, like my cholesterol, right, was high for a long time. I got good news, and the doctor called me. He's like, hey, it looks like your cholesterol is doing pretty good. I'm like, you're actually calling me with good news.
Whoa, right? That's a first.
And you get the thing where it says like, you have a message from Premise Health, and like, uh oh. All right, let's talk about therapy.
I do want to talk a little bit about the fact that because we have all of these different types of care delivered under one roof, the benefits of that, because it really makes a difference. And I'll tie it right back to our PT and chiropractic services. We actually had a story a couple of months ago where the patient came in to, I think it was a PT, mm-hmm. Having some back pain, having some leg pain. And as part of that evaluation, the therapist actually identified, I think this person actually has undiagnosed diabetes based on symptoms. Immediately kind of walked them down the hall to see the doctor, got them tested. Sure enough, undiagnosed diabetes, started getting care there, continued with the therapist. And much better today. Pain's gone, balance is better, doing well.
So sort of vice versa, backing into
it. That's right.
How do you like that? That's right.
So I think, you know, having a team of medical professionals all working together to take care of the whole person makes a difference.
Yeah, one of my former stewards said that he went, and, you know, when they built one by Grace, like, he's like, it's right down the block. I got no reason not to go. Lost a bunch of weight, got healthy, and so he's taking his brothers that work with him and said, hey, everybody, we're going to get physicals, right? We're gonna all get healthy together. And they have. And it's just been like, just right. What a great story, right? Yeah. And he called and said, thank you. You know what I mean? So it was, it makes you feel good, I guess. And it sort of goes back to the reason I think that we chose Premise over some others. And I think it was, you know, for us, it was probably a good choice because there's been a lot of consolidation in your world, right? So-and-so bought this one, and then private equity bought this one, and then they merged, and then they sold, and, you know, it seems like...
But you guys are the biggest in that space, it seems to me.
The biggest player.
We are the biggest player in the space. And
the most ethical, you know, probably.
You think they're the most ethical?
I mean, they're very ethical, so I would say that...
I'm not saying
the other ones are not. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying the fact that the biggest...
More importantly, they laughed at Ken's jokes.
The biggest company out there is the one that's sort of like taking this model that's not trying to over-profit from everything.
We've been in the business for a long time. Yeah. We've been in the business for a long time. We will, you know, we like to say we were here when you got here, we'll be here when you're gone.
Yeah. We say the same thing in the union land, right? Yeah.
You know, we're focused on taking great care of the patient.
How's the growth? How's your growth been?
We are continuing to grow. What I would say is we have a healthcare crisis in this country right now.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Employers can no longer, and Taft-Hartley funds can no longer afford the rising healthcare costs. They have to do something different.
Yes.
They can't continue to pass it off to their people.
Right.
And so they're looking for innovative ways to lower their costs without sacrificing their people. And it's got to be good for the employer, the Taft-Hartley Fund, and it's got to be good for the people that you're caring for.
That makes sense to me. And I think, you know, we talked about this off the air. I think medical debt is the number one source of debt in the country, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like, you know, in the whatever it is, it's just a massive amount of people get into medical debt because, A, they're underinsured or not insured, right? Or going to the, like you said, taking an ambulance, Phil.
Yeah.
I mean, they gouge you on it, right? And so you can't get out from under that debt. It's really, really tough. Whereas if you're in a union or you work for a corporation that, you know, partners with Premise, there's your doctor. There is no debt. You go there and that's, you know, for at least for us in the union world, it's free.
It's the best, right? Yeah.
And so kudos to you guys.
I was going to ask Beth, how far are we away from low-cost weight loss drugs?
It's a very controversial.
You look fine, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, speaking for someone else I know.
I think the jury's still out on that. I think you'll see the costs start to come down.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack related to the manufacturer's costs, the PBM's costs, what they're charging different employers and different Taft-Hartley funds. I think it's going to take a while to get there.
Right
there.
But
there's a lot of PBM reform going on right now as well, so
we're watching that.
Yeah.
I got a question
that
really is Phil's question. How is AI affecting you guys, or is it?
Well, you know, we've been using AI for years, so I think it's the buzzword today, but we've been using predictive modeling and some other types of AI for years, whether that be to address cybersecurity threats, to market and write content. Mm-hmm. We really view AI through the lens of, does it improve efficiency, effectiveness, or the experience for whether our own team or the patients that we're serving? And we're very cautious to make sure when we're implementing something, it's not just for the sizzle. You know, we're not doing it because it's sexy. We're actually doing it because there's some sort of substance behind it.
Right.
So we are using some AI right now in our centers. Mm-hmm. Most of it is how we manage our schedules.
Okay.
So that you have that low wait time that we talked about previously. We're not double booking. We're giving that great experience. We are using and testing some AI to help our providers like respond to messages. So it's kind of queuing up what are the important messages versus the patient that responded back and said, thank you.
Right.
You know, so we're kind of doing that work right now. What we will not do is use AI to replace the physician.
That's what we want to hear. That's what we want
to
hear.
And we also won't use it to make the provider have to like see a lot more patients like they do in the community, right? We want them to be efficient.
Yes.
We want it to be a good experience, but the provider needs to have ample time to spend with the patient.
Right.
And a lot of use cases we're seeing in the community right now is how do we just use AI so we can drive more volume through our center?
And
that's not what we're about. That's not our business model.
Yeah, it's not like pure profit, right?
Right.
Profit over people. It's vice versa. It's people over profit. So listen, thank you so much for coming in and for taking the trip up here on a Sunday morning. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And we appreciate, in all seriousness, everything that Premise has done for us and done for labor. We're happy with the partnership, at least, you know, from the coalition standpoint. We hope to see it expand around the Midwest. We're talking about going up to Wisconsin and having a big meeting with the building trades up there. And I think it just, you know, it should feed upon itself, right? So you guys have been a great partner for us, and we appreciate it, Beth.
Well, thank you. And we are honored that you chose us and that you trust us enough to care for your people. I mean, that's at the end of the day, what's most important.
Yeah, we haven't got bad, you know, it's like nobody's calling and saying, you know what, Premise sucks. Like, I had a terrible experience at the you know, nobody's calling. If anything,
it's always great.
It's positive.
I hated not having to wait to see my doctor. It's terrible.
Right, yeah. So thank you so much. We're talking with Beth Ratliff, the COO of Premise Health. And we will be back right after this with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. That was pretty cool with Beth, huh?
She's the best.
Yeah, she's really, really good people.
Listeners love her.
Yeah, she's smart and down to earth and likes rock and roll.
And she laughs at your jokes, so you'll never say anything bad about jokes, her.
Yeah. So, all right, listen, we're going to hit on a couple of quick things. I'm going to make it quick. We only got a couple minutes. So we know that, you know, we're beating this to death, but the TSA losing their collective bargaining rights, right? Like I was, you know, I said I was traveling, you know, and I was talking to a couple of them, like, you know, what do you guys think about losing your union contractors? And they were dejected.
Yeah.
They were literally like, you know, I can't believe this happened. You know, just like morale here is at an all-time low.
Yeah, and a lot of them are veterans, too.
Yeah, and it was just...
I'm sure a lot of them took that job because it became with union benefits.
There's no question about it. And you're right. A lot of them are, you know, military, et cetera. So anyway, there's a lawsuit going on to restore that, right? So there's, you know, constant lawsuits. And then the American Federation of Government Employees have filed suit also against the administration for these mass firings, right? So you're seeing Elon run away now, right? Goodbye, Elon.
And,
by the way,
a couple of weeks, that's going to blow up, and I'm waiting for it.
When you say blow up, you mean like his rockets, right?
Hey-o.
Did you see the latest story with all his drug use?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
They said that it was... I mean, this was a New York Times article, but according to multiple sources that he was on drugs.
9 pension funds that are invested in Tesla have written a letter demanding that he put in a 40-hour week in person at the office.
Oh, I love it. Really?
Yeah.
But they said that the ketamine usage was off the charts.
It's cat tranquilizer. Not for daily use.
No. Ketamine. So anyway, I know people are getting tired of it, and it's you literally have to keep a scorecard, right? NLRB, is it function? Is it not function?
Yeah.
Is
there a stay on this?
Right. Is there a stay on that? Is there a stay on the stay on the stay? It's really just, it's crazy. There should be a website that has a scorecard, but it's important because if what the administration is doing is illegal, and I believe these mass firings are. There was no due process.
Yeah.
And I've been reading about why they're illegal and why the AFSCME should win. You know, every time that a judge rules against the administration comes out and says
they're activists or corrupt.
They're corrupt, liberal, activist judges.
Extremists.
Radical left.
Yeah. Even though they're Bush appointees or Trump appointees, they're all of a sudden become radical left, you know. And so, you know what's happening to these judges? They're getting pizzas delivered to their houses, their home addresses, in the name of like their kids or their wives. And it's a message, basically. It's like, we're watching you. We know who you are. And you know who protects the judges? The U.S. Marshal. And
who's their boss?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So they're literally thinking about getting their own private security force.
He wouldn't fire up a mob to harm people, though.
Yeah. No, he would never do that. So anyway, we got to wrap it up. We will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.